When I speak to Mullah Ahmed Chauhan of the Al-Imdad Foundation for latest update on the Rohingya crisis. Mullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hi, Mullah Mufti Sahab.
Alhamdulillah, and yourself, Mullah?
Allah shukr, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
More, we understand that the Rohingya crisis, with the latest move of violence or with the latest developments from the 25th of August, where hundreds of thousands of Rohingyans have been moving into Bangladesh, there has been an ongoing situation, even though perhaps at times it had been focused on more in our own Islamic media, and then it sort of fizzles out somewhat when people get involved in other activities. Perhaps you can remind the listeners of the crisis and the current situation that the Rohingya Muslims are facing.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our honorable listeners of Radio Islam International. Ji Maulana, the crisis goes on. At one stage, there were less than 300,000 that had fled from Arakan and come into Bangladesh, and now slowly that figure is very close on to 600,000 out of a population of just about 1.2 million from the Rakhine state. So that gives us an idea that nothing has stopped. Half the population has now become refugees. Refugees of such a pitiable situation that when they come across the border, some of them have taken between 8 to 12 days to come over the border. 8 to 12 days, absolutely no food whatsoever. So they are in a very, very pitiable situation. But alhamdulillah, on the one hand, we find that they're finding some ground, they're finding some feet now in Bangladesh, in that they have been put into camps. Food is becoming available. Military is now, the Bangladesh military is supervising the distributions of food. But by and large, they are in a very, very pitiable situation. The other day, somebody said it very, very beautifully, that if a person has cancer of the entire body, the lungs and all the soft tissues and everything inside, and if we want to treat the person and we wash the person's body, we give the person a bath, that is not going to help the actual illness and the sickness. These people, unfortunately, they have been hurt emotionally. They have been emotionally disturbed. When we were on the ground, we have heard many of the incidents of our sisters over there, very young sisters, young children, that had seen the most gruesome of assaults on their fathers or on their husbands. Bodies were burned, people were cut into pieces, mutilated, and the worst of crimes, the most unspeakable crimes have been committed against our Rohingya people. Their homes have been burnt, and yes, although they have come, they are now settling down somewhat, they are now coming to terms with a new life. But obviously, there are still many, many challenges. They say that in some camps, between 2 to 3 out of 10 women have already been raped. Unfortunately, some stats, the lowest stats actually, are showing that about 70% of our sisters were pregnant when they had to flee from their homes. And in that condition, and some of the stats are showing up to 100,000. So between 70,000 to 100,000 of our sisters have come in this very, very pitiable condition of being expectant mothers coming across. Mufti Sahab, you know, there's an incident of a woman that undertook this 8-day journey after she had seen her home being burned. She saw her husband being burned. She was hamil. She was an expectant mother, and she had undertaken this journey, and on the second day of her journey, this woman gave birth all alone. Passers-by stopped to help. This was what we will term as nafsi alam. Everybody is concerned about themselves. They rendered a bit of help with the giving birth of this child. And after that, this woman was left all alone. She had no clothes, no wrapper to wrap the child. The scarf or the sheet that she was wearing, she had to put the child between her and the sheet, and she had to continue a further 6 days like this without any food. And in that pitiable condition, this woman comes to the camps in Bangladesh. Somebody just asked her, sister, what would you desire most, or what did you desire most at that time when you gave birth in that mountain fast? She replied, one glass of pure clean water was all I wished for and all I desired. Whatever there was around was contaminated and impure. So, Mufti Sahab, they are definitely settling down. There have been people that have gone to the hospitals in which some of the victims have been admitted, and really the most gruesome atrocities have been committed against our Rohingya brothers and sisters and children.
Now, what is the immediate need as the crisis continues and we perhaps move into the next phase with those that have come now settling down in those refugee camps? How do we now cater for them?
Mufti Sahab, I think normally in a crisis like this, it is normally looked at in three phases. The emergency crisis, that's the short term, and then the intermediate, the middle term, and then we go into the long term. Because of uncertainties that is coming out of Bangladesh, the long term doesn't seem to be much of a reality at this particular time. So whatever is going to be done will be done in view of it being a medium to long term settlement for them. Alhamdulillah, land has been acquired and given from the government side. Alhamdulillah, Al Imdad Foundation has been supported by the government of Bangladesh with the application of putting up some structure, home structures, some shelters, so that these people will be better off than what they are at this particular stage. I think that has been already negotiated, and we have got some permission from the government to begin those structures. So that will be now in the medium to long term. Those are not going to be structured homes like we have brick and mortar, but they will be a mixture of bamboo and other things that will be used. They will be given a good roof over, a proper floor, because at this moment the absolute ground is the floor, and the rains come through, and the result is that they have to evacuate each time it begins to rain. So that needs to be avoided. Now they need to settle down. Education has begun in the form of the Islamic education, the madrasas, the maktabs. Understand that a large amount of ulama have also become refugees. We had met about 120 odd ulama that had settled in one place. So they have taken to teaching the children. So that is also underway. Some Ibadat Khana's places of Salah has been put up temporarily, so they are performing the Salat and a little bit of education that has gone with it. So as far as that is concerned, that is being settled. Those that required medical treatment, that medical treatment is also underway. But as I say, that there is no real certainty of what is going to happen and what is the future of the Rohingya people. And that actually creates a little bit of a dilemma. How does one plan? And of course there are some limitations, and perhaps rightfully so, from the government itself. So with all this, inshallah, medium to long term plans have already begun and underway, inshallah.
Well, just perhaps elaborate on the container homes or the container village.
At this moment, the container homes and container village doesn't look as an absolute reality like we had done on the Syrian side, or on the Jordanian side of Syria, on the Turkey side of Syria. That is not looking too much of a reality insofar as a shelter is concerned. But the foundation has embarked on the container for Rohingya insofar as second-hand blankets, that is single adult blankets or double adult blankets, baby blankets, our sisters' cloaks, abayas, burqas, and scarves. We have embarked on this project, alhamdulillah, nationally in Cape Town, Johannesburg, and Durban. The containers will be leaving from here, possibly in most of the towns in our country. there has become collection points. People are collecting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. And if any one of your listeners wish to become a collection point in their city, they can contact our officers if there is no other collection point. But alhamdulillah, it terminates now on Sunday, the collection, and inshallah on the 10th, 11th and 12th, containers will be packed inshallah, and then on the 12th these containers will be taken into storage, and inshallah it will leave for the Rohingya people. We can see that there's a phenomenal response to it. Absolute enthusiasm, something beyond our imagination. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all our brothers and sisters that have contributed and are so enthusiastically looking forward to see this project go ahead, inshallah.
Inshallah, we encourage our listeners to get involved. Mullah, jazakumullah khair for the update. And we'll continue chatting about this as the developments, as the time comes closer for the container to leave South Africa, inshallah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So that was Muhammad Chauhan. Here is an update on the Rohingya situation, also towards the end, speaking about the filling up of this container that is to be shipped off to for the Rohingya Muslims, where they will be able to benefit from that. So if you'd like to get involved, get in touch with the Al-Imdad, you can either become a drop-off point, or you could, you know, get involved in terms of find out where is your closest drop-off point. We're obviously not collecting here at the radio station. I see listeners already asking us, can they come drop off at the radio station? So we're not collecting here, but you know, you can get in touch and find out more about that.